Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Beth Friedrich, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. If you're a telecommuter, one of those lucky people who can work from home by phone and computer, you may be able to avoid the crowds on the trains, the small talk at the water cooler, and the unnecessary meetings. And forget the ties. Heck, you can even avoid wearing clothes. But regardless of where you do your work, even if it's mainly from your home in Connecticut or New Jersey, if your company is based in New York, you probably cannot avoid paying New York State taxes on your income. Yes, it's tax season, and between now and April 15th, we'll be taking a look at a few nooks and crannies of our tax system. Today's topic is taxes and telecommuting. A couple of years ago, New York's Court of Appeals ruled that non-resident telecommuters had to pay taxes to New York even if they were actually working elsewhere 75% of the time. Now, given that New York has one of the higher tax rates, this was not exactly a popular decision. Joining me now to talk about how and why New York lays claim to income you may think you're earning in New Jersey or Connecticut is Rob Plattner, a tax attorney based in Albany who publishes the New York State Tax Handbook every year, and Nicole Belson-Golubov, an attorney and telecommuter advocate and the author of The Law of Telecommuting. And we do want to take your calls. If you telecommute to New York from out of state or who you think deserves your tax dollars, please give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Welcome to WNYC, both of you, Rob Plattner and Nicole Golubov.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Rob, let's start with you. Telecommuters were hoping they could pay their taxes based on where they work instead of where the check comes from. And the courts have ruled against them before in what's called the Huckabee decision. Tell us about that decision. Who's Huckabee?
Yes. Well, Huckabee is a fellow who was working as a consultant for a New York company. He was not an employee. And then the relationship changed, and he became an employee of the New York company. But when he was a consultant, he had been working out of Tennessee, and he arranged with his New York employer to continue to work out of Tennessee. So his employer set him up with a home office in Tennessee, and he did 75% of his work from there, and about once a month he would come in for a week to the New York office. And the court ruled that New York could tax 100% of that of the income Mr. Huckabee received from his New York employer.
Even though he was doing what percentage of his work?
Right, even though he was doing, he was in Tennessee 75% of the time. And he certainly wasn't even a commuter, as you would call it, because no one commutes from Tennessee to New York.
Okay, so did that ruling say how much time you need to be spending in New York?
No, it did not. And it seems the state has its own rule that you have to at least show up once in New York before the state will tax it. So if you have a New York employer and you work from home and you never set foot in New York, they will not tax any of that income. But once you even spend, you know, one day or 2 days in New York, if you're spending the rest of your time in your home office working there because it's more convenient for you, New York will arguably tax you on 100% of your income.
Nicole, we learned yesterday from the Independent Budget Office that New York City residents bear an unusually high tax burden, and I guess we like to spread it around because we tax commuters and now telecommuters. Why do you think that's not fair? Shouldn't everyone who works in the state pay a tax?
On the days that they actually work in the state, sure. But when you're in the state, you are benefiting from New York public services, the fire department, police department, emergency services, et cetera. When you are working from your home state, you are benefiting from the services there. Why should you be made to subsidize the public services New York offers when you're spending perhaps the bulk of your time, as Mr. Huckabee was, outside the state? In effect, you are non-resident of New York is losing the benefits of enhanced services in his own state, and his state is losing those benefits. The revenue is being diverted from Tennessee to New York.
So you're saying that the person who works out of their home in Tennessee isn't costing the state money?
Isn't costing New York money on the days that he's not there, particularly in instances like Huckabee's, where the telecommuter is spending so much more time in the home state than in the employer state.
Well, I want to encourage our listeners to call in because I know a lot of you may be working from home if you're listening to this show. Please give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. I'm Beth Ferdig, sitting in for Brian Lehr, and we're talking about taxation of telecommuters with Nicole Golubov, an attorney and telecommuter advocate, and Rob Plattner, a tax attorney in Albany who's published the New York State Tax Handbook. Rob, necessity and convenience, these are terms that seem to be big issues in sorting out the taxation. What do they mean in the tax law?
Yes. What the state requires in terms of a non-resident who wants to treat a day spent outside of New York as a non-New York day for tax purposes is that that day be spent outside New York because you're doing some act on behalf of your employer that has to take place outside the state. For example, if a New Jersey resident were to go to a trade show in Las Vegas to represent the company, that's certainly a non-New York day. And even if the business were in New Jersey, if he was attending a meeting in Morristown with some potential clients, there's specific business reason to be outside of the state. That's necessity. But if you are, you know, working from home, that's certainly a case where they consider it convenience. New York has pushed the envelope on what they consider to be convenience and have gone as far as to say that, you know, even if your employer doesn't have a desk for you in your New York office and tells you we'd rather have you work at home because we don't have space for you, New York would still consider that convenience and still try to impose a tax on those days the New Jersey resident was spending at his home.
When did they write that law? When was it last updated?
Well, you know, the law is from quite some time ago, but and so what's changed has been the interpretation that's not been done statutorily, but through just the tax department's ongoing interpretation.
It was long before telecommuting.
Yes, but initially there was sort of an explainable abuse situation that was taking place that they were trying to respond to. And the worst case would be, let's say a lawyer who works in New York is a New Jersey resident. He would, you know, on Sunday afternoon in front of the football game, bring home some papers and leaf through them, and then say, okay, well that's a New Jersey work day.
Mm-hmm.
And by adding as many New Jersey work days into the equation as he could, he was reducing the amount that he was, paying tax on in New York.
So there is a huge potential for abuse.
So yes, so that was the concern, was the abuse. But the cure seems to be, I'm sure Nicole feels more strongly than me, you know, at some point became overly broad and aggressive, and there may be other ways to deal with that abuse, you know, saying you can't count something as a non-New York day unless it's, you know, Monday through Friday, unless you've put in a full
day.
Yeah,
it's very slippery. Nicole, how would you prevent the abuse?
I'm not sure that the abuse, I don't know that it's been documented, and I think that it is based on a prejudice that people who claim to be working at home, in fact, are not. Certainly with the very sophisticated technology that we have and with so many employers encouraging their employees to work off-site because it affords the business or the government agency in some cases a host of advantages, both in terms of cost and emergency planning. Given that it's so much more common and its benefits are so much more widely understood, I think any assumption that a telework day is in essence a non-working day is anachronistic.
Well, we have gotten some calls, and I want to invite you to join the conversation at 212-433-9692. Charlene from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry, I misread it. You're Charles, not Charlene.
Yeah. No, I called because a number of years ago I had a case where I worked, I did some part-time work in New York. Maybe 10% of my work was New York, and 90% New Jersey. And yet I was told I had to pay 100% tax on New York tax on 100% of my earnings.
And you didn't think that was fair, I presume.
Yeah. it was a shock, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Is that still the case, or is anything, you know, is that still being done, or is...
Sounds like it is, right?
If you're sort of home office,
thank you, Charles.
In New York, they would still do that unless you had some documentable reason that your, you know, employer was sending you to New Jersey to do something that you couldn't do in New York. I mean, if you were doing work someplace specifically geographically tied to New Jersey, presumably that rule would not be applied.
We have another caller. Thank you so much, Michael from Manhattan.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. I'm a New York City resident, and I am planning to do some telecommuting work, but the home office for the company is in another state.
Okay, the reverse.
Yes. How does that work out as far as my tax situation?
Well, and Nicole, feel free to jump in. Different states have different rules, and New York by and large has the most aggressive rule about trying to hang on to people whose office is in New York and are telecommuting from some other state. It might well depend on what the rule of the state in which your home office is that you'll be telecommuting to. Their rule would apply, and there are times when, you know, if one state has one rule and another state has another rule, that there is some possibility of double taxation occurring, and that would be the most egregious example of taxpayer unfairness.
Okay. I'm Beth Ferdig, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. We're talking about telecommuting, and we're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Is the tax law unfair? We have Ron from Connecticut calling. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. What's your question?
Well, you know, I don't really have a question. I had more of a comment. The tax laws, you always pay the higher rate no matter where you are. I think everybody in the tri-state area, or many people, have lived in one state and worked in another or run into some sort of situation like that. And, you know, I feel we're in Connecticut. I don't telecommute. I used to live in New York and work in Connecticut. And, of course, we paid the higher New York taxes, despite the fact that we were employed over here. It seems like they just get you coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's and that went up to the Huckabee decision went up to the New York Supreme Court, from what I understand.
The highest court in the state, the Court of Appeals.
Yes. I wonder if the U.S. Supreme Court would support it.
Well, Nicole Belson-Golubov is the expert on this because she happens to also be on the advisory board for the Telework Coalition, which is advocating for new legislation. So, Nicole, bring us up to speed.
Well, the Huckabee case, as you say, reached the highest court in New York State and went from there to the U.S. Supreme Court, which declined to take the case. By doing that, by refusing to hear the case, the Supreme Court essentially said to New York, you can continue doing what you've been doing, and essentially said to other states, you should feel free, or you can feel free, to adopt a similar tax policy. That's where Congress stepped in. There were supporters in both houses. Senator Chris Dodd from Connecticut and Congressman Christopher Shays, also from Connecticut, and a host of other representatives got together and said, you know what, this doesn't work. Somebody has to address this problem. And they introduced in the last session of Congress legislation known as the Telecommuter Tax Fairness Act.
And what do you think the chances are now with the new Congress?
Well, I think that there's no question that this is the right time and the right climate for Congress to do everything it can to help more Americans telecommute. The Telecommuter Tax Fairness Act would essentially get rid of a tax policy like New York's, requiring physical presence in order for the employer state to tax the telecommuter. And there is a tremendous focus right now on a whole host of national priorities that really compel pro-telework legislation. We are very focused right now on the need to address the serious problem of global warming and by reducing fuel consumption and reducing the greenhouse gases we emit. And there is a strong recognition in Congress that by taking cars off the road, telework can help achieve this. Federal government is also working hard to figure out how best to plan for a potential flu pandemic. And the CDC is recommending that employers include telework in their plans. The government, of course, is always focused these days on homeland security and how to weather things like terror threats and future Katrinas and other disasters that can really be eased if employers and government agencies have distributed workforces.
So Rob Plattner, you're as the tax attorney based in Albany, can you tell us a little bit about where you see New York State headed on this? Because we now have a new governor, Governor Elliot Spitzer. Do you have a sense of his take on this?
No, I haven't heard him speak to it. I
imagine New York isn't willing to give up its share of taxes anytime soon.
Well, I don't know. You know, I would hope that Governor Spitzer would look at this one, because I do think it is one where New York has overreached and sort of gets a black eye for it. And you don't want to invite the federal government to get involved with your state tax system if you can help it, because, you know, what you get might be even worse than what you might have done yourself to fix things. So I would encourage, you know, the governor to take a look at it. But, yes, it would certainly be a revenue loser of some significant proportion. And so, you know, there's always a fight for money in New York. And so there is a reluctance to take this one on. But
okay.
But as the pressure grows and the fairness issue becomes perhaps more apparent, I would hope that they might address it.
We have just another minute, and Nicole, I want to ask you, looking at this nationally, is New York really the center of all this because we're such a center for work and commerce, or is this also an issue in other states?
There are a number of other states that have been cited as having a similar rule. New York has by far been the most aggressive in applying it, and because New York is such an economic center, I think on the revenue loss point, it's a short-term problem because Governor Spitzer certainly wants to draw businesses here, and facilitating telework can absolutely do that. It makes New York a more attractive place to establish a business if you know you can recruit nationwide.
All right. Well, thank you both so much. I'm Beth Fertig. I've been sitting in for Brian Lehr, and I've been speaking with attorneys Nicole Belson-Golubov and Rob Plattner. Nicole Golubov wrote The Law of Telecommuting and is on the advisory board of the Telework Coalition. Rob Plattner writes the annual New York State Tax Handbooks. Thank you both for joining me this morning. This program was produced by Jim Colgan, Lisa Allison, Priya George, and Kate Hines. We had help today from Ani Katz. Debbie Daughtry is the audio control woman, and Nuala McGovern is the executive producer. I'm Beth Fertig.